Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're staying on the surface of the planet Earth to ponder the condition of SpaceX. From the point of view of Blue Origin, this is a competition between two well-to-do and extremely famous men, Elon Musk of SpaceX and Jeff Bezos of Blue Origin. However, right now, Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black, is here to contrast and compare these two very eventful, extremely visionary men. There's nothing to choose between them except for at this moment, we can see themes in their two booster companies, their ambitions. And one is for, and the other is this. And Bob, a very good evening to you. You're the man to do this. Jeff Bezos has news. I ask you for the news. And how does this compare to the way Elon Musk is proceeding with his SpaceX at Boca Chica? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Well, Jeff Bezos has a company called Blue Origin that's about 20 years old and has been developing a variety of rockets and spaceships over that 20-year period. And this is very comparable to the same period of time that SpaceX and Elon Musk is developing its rockets. And Bezos's two main rockets are New Shepard and New Glenn. And New Glenn is not launched yet. It's an orbital rocket that's supposed to be very comparable and maybe even superior to the Falcon 9. But it hasn't launched yet, and it's been in development for about a decade, and we thought it would launch 2 years ago, and it didn't. It's been delayed, and now it don't launch until next year, if then. And his other spacecraft, New Shepard, is a suborbital capsule with a booster to do suborbital short flights, and they've done about, I'd say, 20 or so test flights of two different or three different versions of New Shepard. And the one they're flying right now, they consider it to be ready to take passengers. And that's where the news story is. Bezos announced this week that he and his brother Mark are going to be passengers on that first commercial manned flight, now scheduled for July 20th, the anniversary of the Apollo, Neil Armstrong's first step on the moon. That flight is going to carry with it the first commercial passenger. And Blue Origin's been holding an auction for the last few weeks. People are bidding on the right to fly that, be that passenger. Well, when Bezos made this announcement that he and his brother are going to fly, the bidding had been stable, unchanging, at $2.4 million for about, I don't know, a week, 10 days. Within 24 hours after he made the announcement that Bezos and Mark and Jeff Bezos are going to fly, that bidding suddenly jumped to about $3.5 million. So this enhanced the value of the flight, and suddenly the money went up. So that's what the deal is. On July 20th, the first commercial tourist flight, funded, built, and created entirely with private capital, a suborbital flight, it only lasts about 5 to 10 minutes at the most, will take place, and on it will be one commercial passenger who's paid a lot, will pay millions, and then Jeff Bezos and his brother Mark.
And how does this compare, contrast with SpaceX?
Yes, that's right. You know, now the press is making a big deal about this flight, a lot of big deal, like it's the second coming.
Sure, it's Amazon.
And it deserves, yeah, right, John, it deserves some, it does deserve positive play. This is a big deal. Like I say, it's the first commercial, paid for commercially, entirely, flight into space by passengers. But compared to SpaceX, Jeff Bezos, it doesn't shine well. The both companies started about the same time. In fact, Bezos maybe a little sooner. But he, to my mind, he's the equivalent of a car salesman who is now trying to gain the honor to launch the equivalent of a rowboat. In the same period of time, Elon Musk, SpaceX, it's right now building the equivalent of an ocean liner, that's Starship, even as it's been operationally flying the equivalent of passenger steamships, the Falcon 9, for now almost a decade. And so between the two, I'd pick Musk right now, hands down. Now, that doesn't mean I want Bezos to fail. I want him to succeed. I would really like New Glenn to start launching, because I want someone to be competing with SpaceX and Musk. Competition is the best thing for both, and that's what we want. And so let's hope it comes out. That's all I can say.
My comment, Bob, is that SpaceX is about a mission, which is the moon and Mars, a mission. It's not clear to me that Bezos is about one particular mission. I don't hear him speaking of these things as Musk does. Musk speaks very big about men and women on Mars in his lifetime. I have not heard that from Bezos. We might get there. But right now, the significance to me is perhaps the richest man on Earth is going to take the risk of low Earth, of near Earth orbit, not orbit itself, suborbital, as you say.
And not even near Earth orbit, suborbital. This is not even going to go that close, John. So must be aware of that. It's a big difference. It's going to get to space, but only for a bare few minutes and then fall back to Earth.
We turn to a commercial space story that is unhappy, but the reason we follow commercial space so closely is because it can fail. Bob, Virgin Galactic, who is suing?
It appears an investor and several unnamed plaintiffs have filed a complaint, a federal complaint, against Virgin Galactic, its CEO Michael Kohlglaser, its former CEO George Whitesides, and its chief financial officer, Doug Ahrens, and former financial officer, John Compagna, for, quote, knowingly presenting incorrect financial statements to inflate the company's stock price and entice buyers. They're seeking a class action status and unspecified damages. This is not the only legal case being put together right now against Virgin Galactic. There is real evidence and strong indications that over the last few months they did things to help manipulate the stock prices. And in the process, their founder, Branson, and the guy who made it a publicly traded stock, I can't remember his name, sold out a lot of stock at a high price, and the price then dropped. So this is going on right now, even as Virgin Galactic, which has been around for 20 years, as long as Blue Origin, looks like it's going to lose the race to be the first company to put a commercial passenger.
And that is why commercial space is important, because it has failures as well as successes.
Yes.
And it attracts risk takers. And we now turn to Relativity, raising a lot of money. What is Relativity, Bob?
Relativity is a company that is building what he calls a completely constructed 3D printed rocket and engines. The rocket it's developing right now is a small sat rocket, very small, kind of like the Electron rocket of Rocket Lab. It's called the Terran 1. They hope to fly it this year. We'll see if that happens. But they had raised $500 million earlier this year to build that. Well, they just announced that they've raised an additional $650 million in investment capital in order for them to build a Falcon 9 class rocket they're calling the Terran R for launching by 24. And the Terran R would be very similar to SpaceX's Falcon 9, apparently, but because they claim their engine is more powerful and because they're using 3D printing and exotic alloys, they are going to make it completely reusable. Both the first and second stages will come back to Earth. Now, that's not clear how they'll do that. They haven't explained how they'll do that, but we'll have to wait and see. But I will tell you, this is a company that hasn't launched anything yet, and they, in the last year, have raised more than $1 billion in capital. That tells us quite a bit about about the market for rocket companies right now. It also tells us, you know, I just was saying we need competition for SpaceX. Well, all the companies that the big commercial companies that have been trying to compete directly with SpaceX, that's ULA, Arianna Space, and Blue Origin, they don't seem to really want to compete. They haven't either been trying to build anything reusable, or if they're doing so at a pace that is much too slow. Well, maybe we need new companies like Relativity to come along with new ideas and a real competitive spirit to make that happen. And I'm hoping it does. Either way, they've got a lot of money, John.
And there are other commercial enterprises to celebrate, and you write them up, Bob, because the investors are clamoring to participate in all the good news. Who are they, Bob?
Well, okay. Now, yes, a few days before this Relativity story broke, there were three different stories in the press about investor capital pouring into commercial space. So I wrote an essay on that subject on Behind the Block to say, you know, this is happening. It's real. And there was one case where a new small sat rocket company, Launcher, has raised just under $12 million for building its rocket. Now, I don't know if they'll actually succeed, but they join in what appears to be about 100 different companies trying to build small rockets. Relativity, I just mentioned, is one of them. But the other two stories were more interesting because they were both a lot of investment capital, $65 million in one case and $100 million in the other case, were going to companies that weren't building rockets to get into space, but were building things that would be operating in space, which means the investment capital market investors see the likelihood that we can make money in space because the cost will go down to get there. And so in one case, you have a company, Leo Labs, that's raising a private capital, $65 million, to produce a global radar ground network to track objects in space. This is partly to track space junk. And they see themselves as a major customer. They're going to have lots of customers from all the other satellite and rocket companies that want to know where everything is. And they'll get money for that, they think. And they've got lots of money now to build their radar system on the ground. And another company is Climavision, which has just raised $100 million private capital to build a network of ground radar facilities designed to work with weather stations in space. And so, and this is NOAA's transitioning to this, the same way NASA did, to having private weather satellites launched. Well, this is a company that wants to take advantage of that and work with those private companies. It's all an example of liberty enlightening the world, John. You know, this is all freedom, competition, and it's bringing up a lot of new stuff.
I want to go back over Launcher, Bob, because they have a very attractive website, very attractive, with lots of promising pictures, including the picture of their launcher on their launch pad that reminds me of, is that Vanguard that I'm thinking of, Bob?
You're thinking of Vector.
No, Vector Vanguard, company. The Navy rocket.
Oh, the original rocket, you mean, back in the 50s.
It was a skinny one like that raising up. Vector is what it happened in the 21st century. And it appears that people who were reading Tom Corbett books back in the 70s and 80s have decided to be their own space cadets. They're pouring money and their lives into these launching firms. And from this presentation, Bob, there's no way to stop this now. The flow is too overwhelming. The money's showing up, and so are the creators.
Yes, that's it. That's the thing. And pun is intended. The sky is the limit, basically, because as long as money can be made here, and money is being made, the investment capital is going to come pouring in. And I once again want to point out that despite we're talking about this suborbital launch with Bezos, in the next 6 months, we're going to have five different commercial passenger flights orbital to ISS or in orbit. And the demand for those orbital flights appears much greater than the supply, which means there's more money to be made by launching rockets with people on them.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're headed to exploring a little bit. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Christina Lake Cannabis is using proprietary outdoor genetics to grow and harvest cannabis in Western Canada. And with a 99-acre expansion, production should increase from nearly 72,000 pounds to a harvest capacity of over 194,000 pounds of high-quality, refined cannabis to extract exceptional THC and CBD oils. This cannabis highlight has been brought to you by Christina Lake Cannabis, U.S. trading symbol CLCFF and in Canada CLC. ChristinaLakeCannabis.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.